say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh man, do we have a great show for you. I am just telling you, this is an outstanding show. There are some of you who are sitting out there today, and you are sitting at your job, and you probably are watching us live on a variety of places, or you may be watching us on DBTV, and you may have seen my guest on DBTV, or you're listening to us on a radio across the country, or you're doing a podcast, but you're sitting there going, you know, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I don't really like my job. I'm actually frustrated in my job. And I know there's got to be something more for me, but I don't know how to get there. Well, my guest today, her name is Dr. Charlene Walters. She has written a book called Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. It is fabulous. In fact, I told her that when I write the Amazon 5-star review for this book, it is probably the most comprehensive guide to getting started as an entrepreneur as I've ever read. And listen, we have done hundreds of books on this show, and so many of them are entrepreneur books. This one, totally comprehensive. It really is. And she talks about the 10 mindset shifts that you need to make, how to take action, unleash creativity, and achieve financial success. It's fantastic. And by the way, women, men, I know she kind of is geared this toward women. I'm just telling you, it's for everybody. Do not let that title push you away. This book is for everybody who's interested in being an entrepreneur. And we're going to talk to her just a second about those 10 mindsets. Before we do that, let's do what we do every week, right? We are four-part people. We are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual people. And we check in every week to see where we're at. And so we rate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10 in all four of these areas. One being, and then 10 being, it just can't get any better than that, 5 being average. So here's how it works. So let's take physical, right? So if you were to evaluate yourself on that scale of 1 to 10 physically, how would you say you're doing when it comes to getting enough exercise, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water, eating right, right? Taking care of yourself physically. Now, listen, whatever that number is, it's okay, okay? If you're a 3, that's all right. That's a starting point. Let's just get to a 3.5. What can we change? And, you know, Charlene says something in her book that's really, really honestly true. It is really important to take care of yourself physically if you want to be an entrepreneur, because everything is going to be on your shoulders, right? And taking care of yourself physically helps us release all sorts of things, awesome things, endorphins and all sorts of things, take care of us mentally and emotionally. That's really, really important. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, you know, get your physically self right. So, you know, if you are a 3, that's okay. We're just going to work on that, right? If you're 7, you're going to have to work a little harder because you're already doing the right things, but you're going to have to make some tweaks to get to that next step. All right, that's the first number. Second number is your mental intellectual number, right? And, you know, if you think you can be a couch potato and just absorb information and somehow that's going to make you better, that's not true. And what's interesting is that Charlene says in her book, you need to be a continuous learner as an entrepreneur, right? So it means you got to be active and an active participant in growing in your knowledge and understanding of what you do, but who you are. How about the world around you, right? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you're doing mentally, intellectually? That's your second number. Third number is the emotional number. And it's interesting, Charlene hits that too in her book because, well, as part of it, do you have empathy? Can you connect, right? Because we talk about emotions in two ways. One is, how well are you able to control your emotions under stress and pressure? Do you think an entrepreneur needs to do that? Absolutely. And then the second part is, how well are you able to tap into and understand the emotions of others? Do you think that's important to your entrepreneurial journey? Of course it is. So if you were to take those two pieces, how would you say you're doing emotionally? What number would you give yourself? All right, that's your third number. And then finally, the fourth number is the spiritual number, right? And people will go, oh, I don't know that I'm really spiritual. Well, we all live by faith. You know, you woke up this morning, you had your cup of coffee, and it wasn't poisonous. At least you believe it wasn't. You pushed your button on your car, turned your key on your car, and you believed it was going to start. You saw the crosswalk on the sign at the street, right? Maybe in Charlotte, and it said walk, and you believed that the cars weren't going to run across and hit you. You probably made plans for the future, believing they're going to happen, even though they haven't happened yet. That's faith. But the other part of spirituality is we connect with each other on a spiritual level.
Yes.
There is a connection that we have with each other when we are able to speak with each other, and it goes beyond emotion, and it goes beyond the physical, and it goes beyond the mental. And we also have a desire to connect to something bigger than ourselves that could bring us to a sense of peace and a sense and bring us to a sense of joy even amidst chaos. And Charlene will talk about, you know, meditation being important. Or finding that thing that's important to you as an entrepreneur, because it's a spiritual connection too that you're going to have. And whatever brings you to center, whether that be God, nature, meditation, whatever it is it working for you? And if it's not, then what do you got to do to change it? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you evaluate yourself in that spiritual area? All right, those four areas are like the tires of your car, right? If one of the tires is too flat, what happens? Right, you can't drive the car, it's hard to steer. And if all four tires are low, what happens? Well, you know what? The car is going to get ruined over the course of time. So speaking of someone who's got her tires all to the right height, her name is Dr. Charlene Walters. She's entrepreneurship coach, business and branding mentor, author, speaker, executive. She is got her MBA and PhD as a business mentor, consultant, coach. You can find her at charlenewalters.com. She enjoys working one-on-one with a variety of entrepreneurs, businesses, professionals. She's a corporate trainer. She's been featured on and featured expert on Quora's business and education and social culture spaces. She's a TV host on her show called Launch with Charlene Walters on DBTV. She's been featured among influencers and experts on the BAM Network, is a frequent media contributor with Forbes, Thrive Global, Apple News, Entrepreneur, CNBC, the list goes on and on. She's been identified as one of 150 marketers to followed by Rubrikly. Charlene provides consulting and project-based services, one-on-one mentoring, entrepreneurs, writers, mindset, corporate training, workshops, integration, remote, hybrid teams, innovation. You know what? She lives in Charlotte. She's available to you. Find her at charlenewalters.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to the first time, and I've got a feeling not the last time, to A New Direction. Welcome, Dr. Charlene Walters.
Thank you so much, Jay. It's great to be here. Hi, everyone. I'm thrilled to be on the show today and to hang out with a fellow host on DBTV.
Yeah, I was on your show not too long ago and had a great time with you. And why we didn't do this earlier, I don't know, but we should have done.
We should have, right? On the same page.
We live literally about 3 hours from each other, which is even funnier. So this book is fantastic. I want to take a look at these 10 mindsets, and I want to dive into them. And the first mindset that you talk about is take action. Yes. And you say it starts in your mind, and I could not agree more. And I'm going to quote you. You say desire is half the battle.
Right.
To remain successful in a world where traditional employment will become less frequent, you will do well to focus on those areas where you excel and the tasks that you love to do. I so agree with you. Expand for us on that, the starting in the mind piece.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we can all relate to it. There's things, big projects, big dreams we have, and we sort of talk ourselves out of it sometimes, right? We're thinking this is going to be challenging, this is going to be difficult. You know, starting a business just feels overwhelming, particularly if you didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs and it's, you know, something you're not really familiar with. So it's like, once you get that kind of drive to go, you flip that switch in your mind, then you're off and running. And it's just that taking action that builds more excitement. It builds more confidence. It gets you going in that direction. And it's really just about adjusting your mind and flipping the switch and having, you know, that ability to take action and to go for your dreams. And, you know, however daunting, it's daunting for everyone, but if we can get into the right mindset, right, and start moving towards it, then we're really doing well. And then the second thing you talked about was, you know, work is changing. We have AI, we have technology, we have mass layoffs, reorgs all the time. I think more and more into the future, people will be leaning into those things they do. And that might be one or two or three things. And maybe you're just a solopreneur, you know, contracting out to different employers, and you're not as much focused on working for one person. So I think entrepreneurship in its many forms will become even more of the norm as we move forward.
Why do you think that this flipping of the switch, because you coach so many people, is so difficult for people?
Oh, I think people, you know, they lack confidence sometimes. They maybe don't have supportive people around them. They don't have the right role models. Sometimes, you know, they just are holding themselves back. It can be self-sabotage, can be imposter syndrome. They don't feel like they have, they're smart enough, they're good enough, they're competent enough to do this. And I think, too, there's a lot of fear around being in charge of making your own money. There's something very comfortable about working for someone else and knowing that that paycheck is coming in all the time. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that's probably, you know, one of the scariest things to face. So there's a number of challenges. So I think, you know, people can stand in their own way when it comes to entrepreneurship.
One of the things that you suggest for people starting out is, as an entrepreneur, is maybe doing a side hustle.
Yes.
And talk about, well, you quote a study. You say a recent study found that more than 44 million Americans have some sort of side gig. And I think that's increasing. I think it is, from what I could find out. And this is kind of interesting stat, too, that you quote in the book. 51% of women surveyed had side hustles compared to only 35% of men.
Yes.
Talk us through that piece a little bit, the side hustle. Why maybe there's some disparity between men and women and doing a side hustle.
And the side hustle. So I think, first of all, a side hustle is good for entrepreneurs because it takes some of the pressure off, right? In the beginning, as you're gaining traction, you're gaining your sales, that takes a while. It takes longer than you thought it would. You don't want to be worrying about money coming in during that time. So if you have a side hustle, or if you start your business and get that traction going as a side hustle while you still have money coming in, then by the time you're ready to launch, you've already got it going. And a side hustle is good for so many reasons because it helps you like establish your market. Are there really customers who are willing to buy this from me? Can I actually do this? Do I enjoy doing this? So it gives you all that kind of room to do it. Women are diving into side hustles, I think, as a way to transition out, as a way to get extra money. I think I've said it a bunch of times in the book, but more and more women are single breadwinners now in their homes. They're trying to take care of their families. If they're doing something, you know, even if they are in a household where there's multiple earners, it brings in a little extra income for them as well. So there's a lot of different reasons, but I think as an entrepreneur, it really just helps. And I've also seen other entrepreneurs that launch into their business. They realize, oh boy, it's taking longer to drive the sales than I thought it would. And so they pick up a side hustle on the side, some kind of contract work or whatever it is, just to kind of alleviate that financial pressure. And I think it's smart all the way around. Sometimes people will beat themselves up. I've had clients say like, oh, this is a contract job or something. I took a part-time job. This is cheating. Well, no, you were going to do the same work anyways, right? It's just different semantics, and you're taking care of yourself until you get your ideal client. So I think having a side hustle is a win for so many reasons. Mm.
When you talk about this mindset of taking action,
yes,
what do you think, why do you think that people have sometimes this, there's this little bit of a, it's this reluctance, and I'm trying to phrase this question a little bit differently, that they know they want to do it, they've done all of it, but they just can't, and I want to make this different than the flipping of the switch, because right. It's kind of like they know they want to get there, they know that they've got this great idea. They flip the switch in their mind that they want to do it, but yet they can't take the action to do it.
Right.
Where do you think that stoppage is?
So I think sometimes people, for a lot of reasons, like they might just not have the confidence that they could do it. They might not understand the business. They might think it's more challenging than it really is. They can talk themselves out of it. They can, you know, sabotage themselves a lot of times. They'll talk themselves out of it, or, you know, kind of get in their own way. And I think that does just really stop a lot of people, not having the right mindset, not feeling like they can make that jump. They have that fear. And I think fear comes in many different forms in many different ways. And I think that stops a lot of people. And I've had times where, you know, people will say, oh, you've done this, you know, oh my gosh, you know, how did you do it? But it really is that I figured out I wanted to do something. Then I broke it down into less overwhelming pieces, like writing a book. You and I have both written books. It's big, it seems daunting. People are always floored by that. Same thing with starting a business. But if you start working on it in little pieces, researching, finding out the market, figuring out who your target customers are, researching competitors, as you break it down in that way into little chunks, it becomes less overwhelming. So I think some of the ways that we can get going, if we know we want to do it, is to just kind of work on gathering information and getting our plans in order. And that will help us feel better about what we're doing, I think.
You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded, I interviewed on the show Kara Golden. She owns Hint Water.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She wrote a book called Undaunted.
Yes.
And she was on the show, and she said something to me that I've never forgotten when it comes to entrepreneurship. She said, sometimes you just have to build the plane while it's in the air.
Yes.
and I think you say really kind of the same thing here about taking action as a mindset, is it doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, there are certain things. You got to find your niche. You know, you got to learn about your target market, those type of things. Put together a business plan. You talk about all those things. But talk about building the plane while it's in the air, because I think that sometimes is an issue.
Yeah, I find, you know, as people, we think we have to have everything completely figured out. And in business, sometimes it's just not possible. In anything, it's not possible to know everything as we're going. Like, we might get into it and realize, okay, this area is doing better than this other area, so maybe I have to change and adjust. And we're constantly pivoting. No matter what kind of business, whether it's a new business, it's an established business, everything is changing all the time. And for my business, I know myself personally, I keep pivoting and changing depending on what the market's doing, what I want to do, what I enjoy, what I don't enjoy, you know, different things and facets of the business. And I think that's okay. I think it's important to research, get to know your products, get to know your industry, have your plans, have everything in place, but just know that it's not going to be perfect, and you'll have to keep changing as you go as well.
Yeah, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this is your area, but I think the more that you do in committing towards entrepreneurship, like writing your business plan, which, by the way, you have this, and I want people to understand that what Charlene's done in this book is, in the back of the book here, she actually basically has would you call it, I don't know, it's forms, it's being able to fill out your entire business plan. You can actually, how would you describe that? It's in the appendix. You've got everything.
It's an action plan, really. Yeah. It's getting everything. And it's not even just like what you'd see in a normal business plan, but also about getting your mindset right, thinking about what can stop you, what can hold you back, what resources you have, you know, how you can lean into others for support. So it's really about getting your ideas out there. And I feel that the more you do that, that's moving towards what you want, right? And the more you start laying out your plans and doing research and thinking about things, the further you are towards that end goal. It could have been, when it's just an idea kind of floating around in your mind, it's a little more, you know, obscure. We're not sure exactly what it is, but when we start laying it out, we have more specific ideas about that. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of different entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship experts talk about, do we need a business plan? Do we not need a business plan? Well, does everybody need a full 60-page business plan? No, but you need to really do your research and have your plans in place for how this thing is going to go. And I think that's just the bottom line of it. And this will vary depending on what type of business you have, what your plans are. Are you looking for investors? Are you not looking for investors? Is it a side hustle? Just depending on what it is, but just putting it out electronically, writing to whatever you're doing to get that idea out there is one step further towards your business.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did a business plan for the show, even though it was not, because I wanted to have it put together, and I found a podcast business plan.
Oh, nice.
That I found a template of. There's templates out there for everything, every type of business. My first book, I had a book coach that she made me fill out a business plan to write my first book.
Very nice. Yes.
So, I mean, it's really important just to go through the exercise. And I think that's what you emphasize here in this chapter.
Definitely. And I did the same thing with the book. I had I think it was like 65 page book proposal where you're going through all the target audience, all the demographics. You know, it takes you so long to put that together, but it's really important. And you can do that for everything for your show. You need to know what makes you different, what your unique selling proposition is, who your target audience is, right? Of course, because if you're making a podcast, you want to make sure you have people that want to tune in and listen. And so it applies to everything. And I recently took a class. It was on designing products and something I was interested in. I found myself frustrated during the class because it didn't have like a plan I could follow the whole time. So then I started like, all right, I'm just creating my own assignment for this product, right? Because there's not one in here. That's the way I want it. And so I started making that whole thing. It ended up being 20 pages or whatever at the end. And it was perfect. It was exactly what I needed. So, you know, there are plenty of forms out there. You can make your own, whatever it is. The more you put into it planning, the more comes back to you in the end, I think.
Her name is Charlene Walters, Dr. Charlene Walters. The book is entitled Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur, 10 Mindsets to Take Action, Unleash Creativity, and Achieve Financial Success. You're listening to her here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, Epic Physical Therapy, whether you're recovering from an injury, surgery, suffering everyday aches and pains, having difficulty performing activities of daily living. Listen, maybe you're a professional athlete and you just want to move better. I can tell you the elite team at Epic Physical Therapy will provide you with a customized treatment plan that's tailored for you. So when you're ready for your Epic Relief, Epic Recovery, Epic Results, don't look any further. Go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft Team Realtors. Listen, for more than 39 years, they've been helping people transition in life. And you go, whoa, I thought they do real estate. What does that have to do with transition? Well, think about it. Every place you've ever lived has been a transition in life, right? They know how to take the stress out of that part of your transition. So listen, when you're ready to make that transition, whether you're selling a home or buying a home, look no further. Go to Linda Kraft Team Realtors. It's lindacraft.com, LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Dr. Charlene Walters in her book, Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. We're just getting started. We just got through the first mindset of taking action. We've got 9 more to go. She's going to be here till next week, Thursday, is our plan. We're just going to keep her here because she's awesome. I do want to say one other mindset that you have in this taking action plan that is, I think, very difficult for entrepreneurs to get past, and it's cultivating a selling mindset.
Yes.
This can be difficult for people to get into that mindset. Help them.
Yeah, so I feel like working with entrepreneurs, this is the one thing that I really see them all consistently struggle with. You know, I can say it over and over again about we have to just keep selling. Like we have all this great thing. You can do what you want, but you have to actually promote it. And for whatever reason and for a variety of reasons, people feel uncomfortable with that, you know? And that's this stigma around sales and salespeople. We're hiding from salespeople that come to our front door, right? We don't want to buy a new car. So we have a really negative stereotype around sales and salespeople. And one of the first jobs I got out of college, I was an English major, wasn't quite sure exactly what I was going to do, was a sales job. And so I learned a lot about that. I learned about getting more comfortable with rejection. I learned about, you know, putting myself out there. And I think it's helped me in all aspects of my life. But I think if you're really feeling bad about sales, which most of you probably will, start thinking about, well, what are the mindsets that you have associated with sales? Why do you feel uncomfortable about this? You know, and just become more confident in yourself, your message, what you're selling. You have something valuable to offer to your customers, and you have to think about it that way. You're not bugging anyone, you're really helping them. And if you don't believe in your product and you don't believe in yourself, then no one else is going to. So you have to get through those things and think about it. You can role play with friends, family members, try to get through it, get those first pitches going. And I think the more you get going, it's a numbers game. So the more, you know, success you have, depending on what your business is, the more comfortable you will be with that, right? And it's a fine line. Also, a lot of things we can get sales by networking and getting to know others, collaborations. So there are a lot of ways to get around it, but just really think about what's holding you back from sales and then do what you can to, you know, kind of fine tune your message, practice it, and think about and really reposition yourself as a way that you're really helping others, because that's why you went into business. That's why you created this business. You really believe in it. So don't shy away from that.
Yeah, I think sometimes we have this this mindset of if we build it, they will come.
Yes.
and it really does take action on our part to go out there and be and to sell. And
it really does. And so many people that I work with, it's one of the biggest challenges, I think. That and just paying your dues sometimes, which I also talk about in the book, but you really have to do the work. You have to kind of keep going and moving forward and spend the time. Nothing's ever easy. No matter who you see that looks like they've, you know, just had this really huge overnight success, there is not anything overnight in business. It took a lot of work. And just learning those things, it's going to take a lot longer than you think. And you have to be persistent and gritty and kind of just stay in there and keep pounding on pavement, knocking on doors, trying new things. It's not a quick process.
So I evidently you want to go to mindset number two, yeah. Embracing an entrepreneurial attitude. Is that
I
correct?
Guess so.
I guess that's what you want to do, because you just
you just
launched right into embracing an entrepreneurial attitude. No instant success stories, quick path to riches. It's not about who you know or being lucky. You got to work.
Yeah, and you can't really copy what someone else does, because a lot of times people will say to me, or you know, I've coached people and they'll say, well, I want, you know, you to connect me with all these XYZ things that you've done. Well, it's not the same for a different person, because, you know, everyone has their own unique strengths. They have their own unique paths. You could try to do exactly what I did, but it wouldn't have the same result, because we're different people. It's a different time. It's different situations. And a lot of what's happened, you know, has been built up over time. So you really have to kind of think about what you can do and lean into your strengths and where you'll succeed. You know, everyone is unique, and it's grit, it's resilience. I mean, I've had a lot of successful things happen to me, and I've also had a lot of, you know, setbacks, and I'm not posting on Instagram, oh, by the way, somebody rejected me today. Awesome. You know, I feel so great. Maybe I should be more to inspire other people, but we all have those, you know, and it just comes with the territory. And I think what you have to just learn to do is to toughen up when that happens, find a way out of it, find a new plan. I talk about plan B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever it is. And it always happens like that. Like, you think it's going to go one way, you kind of have everything planned in a certain way, and it doesn't. So it's just being persistent and sticking with it, because it always, no matter how much time you've planned for, it's going to take you 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times longer than you thought it would.
It does. It really does. I mean, you know, it takes about 3 to 5 years to really get, yes, on the other side of it. And, you're going to have to grit it out. You really do. And one of the things that you say in this particular mindset is you need to determine your why.
Yes.
Talk about the importance. And what do you mean by, I think we get confused about the why versus purpose because they're two different things.
Right.
Because our why can change. You know, our purpose is generally pretty solid, but why am I doing this today? Why? So help us understand that a little bit more.
Yeah. So your why determines, like I think I say in the book, your how you're going to go about it. So why did you start this business in the first place? What was your reasoning behind it? What do you want to get from it? What are you hoping to do ultimately? And that helps set up your how you're going to do that. So for example, you know, different people have different end goals. They have different passions. They have different desires. So we really have to think about that when we lay out our plans, and that will impact. And we have to keep referring to that and making sure we're on the same page. And I also talk about passion too. And if we're really passionate about something as well, we will really be able to take that to the end and will keep us inspired to get up and keep going every day, because we need it on those days when we don't feel like it or we've had a rough day. We need to be able to pick ourselves back up. So we need to revisit, why do we start this business in the first place, and what do we hope to do, our long-term goals, what we're trying to get out of this in the end.
You then move on here to talk about getting your game on. This is where I think people can also fail, and that's because it's not necessarily a strength, and it's being the competitor, because you got to get zeroed in on your why. Because you go get zeroed in on your why, then it's time to compete.
Right.
Well, that's can be a hard word for people. Compete.
Yes. Yeah, I think sometimes too we can have, you know, negative thoughts around competition, and competition is a good, you know, a good and a bad thing. It's double-edged sword. And I talk about this a lot with, I also teach, and I talk about this a lot with my students, and, you know, whether they're entrepreneurs or whether they're entrepreneurs working in a company, you have to just, you know, get ready for that battle, plan out your moves. You're against, you know, other, your competition. What are they doing? What are you doing? And think about it that way and know it's going to be a fight. So I kind of do that. You have to think a couple steps ahead of where you're getting to all the time, like a game, like you would in, you know, soccer or wherever, get in the right position and move on from there.
And this is where you talk about tapping into passion and grit.
Yes.
And because you do have to have both of those.
Yes.
So help those who say, well, I don't know. What do you mean, passion and grit? I mean, because those sound like two. I mean, passion we feel okay with. Grit sounds a little bit more like, I don't know that I want to do that.
Yeah, grit is really just that tenacity, that ability to just keep moving forward, to keep working towards your goals day in, day out, no matter what happens. And I think, you know, people just think, sometimes, and I'm making a generalization there, that things will just happen easily, and it's not that way. You have to keep, as we've been talking about, keep working towards that, coming up with a different way to tackle things, staying in there day in, day out, making things happen. And I think often without that grit, without that tenacity, we can give up on ourselves too quickly, which is why there are millions of stats out there about how businesses fail within the first year or the second year because you didn't stick with it long enough. So it's a long-term business. You have to think about planning for the future for a long time and finding a way to overcome those obstacles and get yourself out of a rut when you feel it.
Talk to us about failing first and embracing risk.
Okay. So so failing first. Failing is actually a good thing. We've been so trained in our culture, you know, in our upbringings to say, oh, I don't want to fail. You know, I don't want to make a fool of myself. I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, everybody fails. And the good news about failing or doing something wrong is that you learn something from that, right? And I've had plenty of failures. And all that failure is really an opportunity to learn. Like, okay, I launched this business. I didn't get the sales I thought. What happened? Was there a problem with my product? Did I target the wrong customers? What is it? And you have to ask questions. I think I mentioned in the book, I had something happen to me once where I was getting rejected for something. And so instead of just taking that to heart and saying, okay, they don't like me, making up my own reason, I dug deeper into that and I asked some questions. Well, why is it? And then I was able to talk myself into getting that opportunity that I was getting rejected from. So I think sometimes if we really look at rejection, at failure, at things that go wrong as an opportunity to learn, gather information, we can get ourselves on a better path. The worst thing we can do is just sit there and beat ourselves up and say, you know what, this is a failure, I've given up, because nothing ever happens on the first iteration. There's going to be plenty of things that go wrong. So we need to do that. And just as you mentioned with fear, I think the second part of your question was around fear. We have to think about, you know, that fear of failure and fear of looking bad and, you know, what is causing that? What are we worried really about at the end of the day? You know, so what if we fail? It's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be okay. So sometimes we can refer back to times in the past when we've had other failures and we came out quite fine. So if we really analyze what it is we're afraid of and think about what we could do if that happens, plan for it, like what's our other alternative plan, it's that much better to take. And sometimes easier said than done, but I think, you know, time kind of helps you unravel these things too.
You talk about, and it's one of my favorite psychological topics. As a psychological professional, this is one of my, and you hit so many of my favorites, but this is one of my favorites. It's overcoming imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And you say it is estimated that 70% of people feel like an imposter at some point or another in their lives. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And when you become an entrepreneur for the first time, you are going to feel like an imposter.
Right.
I almost guarantee it. Help us get through this imposter syndrome.
Yeah. So, you know, imposter syndrome is that feeling that you don't really belong. You've only gotten lucky for your opportunities. It's, you know, that you really don't deserve the successes you have, or that you don't belong where you're at. And, you know, as you mentioned, Jay, it happens to all of us, a lot of us, many of us, most of the time. In fact, I'm more suspicious of someone who says that they've never had it happen to them. I always think, yeah, is that really true? You know, because I think, you know, we're often in situations where we feel that way. And that's often when it's something new, or we're unsure of its change. And that's all of what it is to be in a business. So I've had imposter syndrome happen to me many times. I'm sure it will happen to me many times moving forward, particularly in business. You know, again, and I mentioned this earlier, but if you didn't necessarily come from a background where you had a lot of role models or people that, you know, understood that, then it can happen to you. So what I always suggest to people who suffer from imposter syndrome is to just make a list of everything that's good about yourself, you know, all your strengths, all the good qualities you have, all the accomplishments you've made in the past, the things that are good about yourself, that you like about yourself, that other people have said about you, and hang it somewhere where you can see it every day and just remind yourself. Like if you're feeling bad, I do that sometimes. I have reminders in my office surrounding me here. When I'm not feeling good and I look over and I say, oh, this is what so-and-so said about me, or here's something I've done, that's really big. And you have to just remind yourself of that too. And other things you could do are get your support system. I know you have probably friends, family members, other entrepreneurs that you can talk to. I had like a mastermind group when I was first starting out, and we would kind of just lean on each other. And sometimes you just need that because it's lonely, it's isolating. So they'll remind you. And then you have your certain people, you know, that lift you up. They tell you how wonderful you are. And the more you have those people too, the better. So just find ways to get yourself out of it when you're feeling that kicking in, because it really is just all in your mind.
That's awesome. Her name is Dr. Charlene Walters. The book, Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. I'm telling you, she's awesome, right? The book is awesome. It's literally for everybody. It's so good. She's giving you gold here. So tell your friends, listen, you got to listen to her and you got to get her book, and we need to talk to her because it's awesome. You're listening to her here on a new direction. Hey, folks, Epic Physical Therapy, my physical therapists, and I think they should be yours too. Listen, their facilities offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill, the Normatec compression sleeves, Game Ready. That's just a few. Listen, they're trained and certified the most comprehensive cutting-edge treatments available. Things like blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, that's just a few. So listen, when you're ready for your Epic Relief, Epic Recovery, Epic Results, don't look any further. Go to epicpt.com. It's EPICPT.com. And Linda Craft Team Realtors. For more than 39 years, they have been known as the legends of customer service. Why do people say that? It's because, well, her clients keep coming back. First client was in 1985. Guess what? They still come back, right? She just had clients the other day. She said to me that she had clients from the 80s, the late 80s, that she had came back again. Why? Because she understood that regardless of the situation, because she started when interest rates were like 16 to 18%, regardless of the situation, there's one thing that stays consistent, and that is treat people the way they want to be treated, right? And do your absolute best for them. And that's what she's done for 39 years. They would love to help you too. So whether you're selling a home, buying your next home, or your first home, start with Linda Craft Team Realtors. That's lindacraft.com. It's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend Charlene. I've had the book upside down. With my friend Dr. Charlene Walters. It's, you know, it's a little embarrassing when you holding up the book for everybody to see, and then you kind of like do that. I want to give a little shout out to a few people who are watching the show. They're chiming in. Jeff Giannacavo, thanks. He's been on the show. Great guest. David Bruner, thanks for watching. Matt, thank you too for watching. Everybody else who's watching on the show, appreciate you chiming in. So mindset shift 3. Yes, folks, we've only done 2 mindset shifts out of 10. Okay, so we're going to get on to 30% here, and maybe a little bit further. But I'm going to talk about this one briefly, and that is cultivating financial confidence. And you start off by saying, as a new entrepreneur, you must start to shift your money mindset. What I want to focus in, though, is something that you said that really hit me hard. And that is, you need to understand your psychological influences when it comes to money.
Yes.
Speak to that a little bit.
So a lot of us, when we were growing up, our parents had a certain attitude about money. They could have really impacted us or influenced us. You know, I remember one of my early memories was when my parents, I found this dollar bill, it was ripped in half. So I thought, like any kid, let me just throw it out. It's no good anymore. And my parents, you know, they were so mad that I did that. And I got this big, long lecture about the whole thing. So, you know, what's the message there? The money is so important. Or maybe your parents taught you that, you know, money was the root of all evil, or whatever it is. So sometimes we're coming in with all this baggage. Maybe it's that we ran up a lot of credit card debt when we were in college, and now we just think we're horrible with money, or we think we're a horrible person because of that, or whatever it is. So you really have to examine whatever baggage you're bringing in terms of money. And I, you know, and just kind of organize yourself in terms of budgeting, in terms of what you need moving forward. But I think you and I had talked about this in my show. You know, whatever is a problem in your personal life or has happened to you is going to carry over into your business. And the same thing applies with money and how you view money.
Yeah, it is so true. I say this frequently, right? There's no business problems. There's just personal problems that infiltrate business, right? And it really is true, because if you're having money issues in your business, well, you have money issues.
Yes.
You know. If you have communication in your business, communication problems in your business, well, you probably have communication problems elsewhere.
Yes.
So it really is true. And if you don't, and I think what happens is often, and I agree or disagree with me on this, but I think what happens is we just kind of hope they'll go away rather than actually deal with them.
Yes. Yes.
And that's problematic, because you do come out of here and say, you know, here's some ideas, talk about money, practice financial transparency, you know, deal with your financial baggage, you know, examine your current finances, budget, cost cutting, bootstrapping, you know, teach yourself to appreciate and love money, you know. You know, not as an idol, but to go, you know, it's a good thing. It can do so many good things for other people. So there's so many things that we can do to change our relationship with it that you bring out. And I think it's a really good, solid chapter for people.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like a lot of it too is maybe you don't think you deserve to be financially successful. So telling yourself, talking about that, trying to remind yourself you deserve every bit of that money. It is good. You can use it to help others. It's not a bad thing. And just depending on who is around you and in your history, you might view it that way. Another thing too is just really getting your budget right, as you mentioned, and the bootstrapping. I'm such a huge believer in bootstrapping. You know, we've seen all these pitch competitions and Shark Tank and all this, which is wonderful and great if you need investors. If you're a smaller business or you're just starting out, you know, you're a solopreneur, you don't necessarily need that kind of investment. You can bootstrap and do as much as you can yourself until you've really established those sales and you have the extra capital to spend on your business. So really just thinking about that, getting your plans in place, and then just losing any of that baggage that you have or any of those blocks that you have related to money.
I'm going to jump ahead to mine. Set shift five. I have to be really careful how I say those words because it's I can be real tricky there, and I almost blew it. Mindset shift five, branding and building a presence. And you talk about personal branding, and you give up. You provide an article from Harvard Business Review that personal branding has some unique challenges for, especially for female professionals. But I think for all of us, for sure, research has repeatedly shown that women are subject to a phenomenon known as the likability conundrum. and which, by the way, we do see that. We do see that. You know, my wife is a successful business owner, and there's this thing about her, you know, being successful and what's expected and who she is, and you know, those things happen. But talk about. You know, you say everyone needs a personal brand today, especially entrepreneurs. Talk about personal branding, the importance of it, and moving through that.
I am just such a fan of personal branding. And I remember this likability and all the kind of baggage that comes along with that. I remember I had a colleague that I worked with, and she was really into personal branding. And this was before I got on my own sort of personal branding journey. And I remember just thinking, oh, you know, I'm not sure of that. So I see it from both sides. But a lot of it has to do with this fear of what other people are going to think about us, what we're saying, what we're doing. And that can be really overwhelming at first. You know, we can really battle that. I remember, I think I first started out, I was doing blogging, right? So even when I was writing my blogs, I was like second guessing, what are they going to think about this article that I wrote or whatever? And you just kind of get more comfortable and confident over time. Now I write so much content and I put so much content out there. I can promise you that I'm not worried at this point about what anybody thinks about what I've said because I've done it so much. So I think we just have to get used to that. And we have to realize that not everyone is going to like us, and what we do or don't do isn't going to change that, right? So we have to do what's important to us and what we feel good about. And people are not going to know about us or about our business, about what we have to offer, unless we showcase that and we put ourselves out there. So we have to kind of overcome those things and just lean into the personal branding and, you know, present ourselves in a way that we feel is authentic. That is ourselves. Like we can look at other people and try to be like them, but we don't want to copy anyone else. We want to be ourselves and let our unique strengths, talents, personality, whatever we have that we want to lean into shine. And we can do it our own way. And there's no one specific way to put your personal brand out there. Some people, you know, love to talk and love to come across in that way on video, on camera, whatever it is. And others are a little bit more introverted, and that's okay. Maybe they just they're more comfortable writing or doing something else. The point is though, as an entrepreneur, you have to talk to other people. You have to get your word out there so that people can find out about you.
Yeah, the personal branding, you hit a key word for me, with people, and it's the authenticity piece. Because I think sometimes people want to take on the brand of someone else or something else that they've seen, and it's just not who you are.
Right.
I have made that mistake in my past. And when I have embraced, I come from a farm and farms and ranches. So there is a little bit of a Western, my brand is a very cowboy, you know, boots, belt buckles, cowboy hats. In fact, when I started the show, it was cowboy hats. And Stetsons, you know, I was pulling for Stetson to be a sponsor of the show because I wore one every Wednesday. And then, you know, you rebrand yourself, you know, a little bit. But I wanted to keep my authenticity of what I do. But that authenticity is so important to the personal brand.
Yes. You can't, you know, you can't successfully copy someone else. People will see right through that. And, you know, maybe you think there's some kind of disconnect where you think you don't match exactly what your brand is. For me, I've always been super friendly. I like to smile a lot. And sometimes in business, you know, people are more serious and, you know, more straightforward. And so, but I am who I am. And you just have to lean into who you are and be yourself. And I think the more you are yourself, people will trust you. They'll connect with you and they'll want to do business with you. And if you don't appeal to them personally, that's okay. There are plenty of other people that you will appeal to.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit as we're running.
We got a lot to get through.
Yeah, as we run here to the end of it. We're not going to make it through. Maybe we'll have to bring you back for a part two. But I want to talk about leading your startup, which is Mindset Shift 8. And I want to talk to you because you talk about servant leadership.
Yes.
Talk about the importance of servant leadership and why that's important to the entrepreneur.
Yeah, so I think I talk a lot about this, and this has been true to me, whether I was in a corporation or whether as an entrepreneur, you've got to help the people you're serving, your employees, you're serving your team. And just, I talk about leading with your mind as well as your heart. And I think that in any leadership position, you have to show that you're willing to roll up your sleeves. You're willing to help your team. You are willing to make it happen. You're not sitting in some ivory tower just giving orders, you know, trying to make things happen, because that's just not the way it goes. So servant leadership is about, Simon Sinek has a book, you know, leaders eat last. And I really believe that, like, let your team eat before you do, you know, be there for them, support them. If you stand up for your team, you help your team, you're flexible with your team, that'll all come back to you in the end. So that's really what I mean by servant leadership, is that you're there to support your team, to help your team as you work together to tackle this problem. This is not to say that you don't have objectives, you don't have goals, you don't have things you need to accomplish, but the more you are empathetic, flexible, and support your people, the more you'll get that back in return.
That's awesome. You know, we've done our time.
We're done. Oh my goodness. That was fast.
Really fast. I know. It went so fast. We had so much, we got so much more to cover. So tell people how they can get a hold of you. Tell them about when your show, when they can see your show, where that's at. Anything that you want to tell them, people can grab their attention, do it. This is your time.
Okay, so you can find me at charlenewalters.com. That is my website where you'll find out more about everything I do, my book, my many different activities that I'm involved in. You can connect with me on many of the social platforms. I'm either at Charlene Walters PhD or C. Walters PhD in lots of places. I tend to be most active on Instagram, Twitter, or X, and LinkedIn. I have the PhD on there because this is personal branding. There are a million Charlene Walters in the world, so the PhD kind of differentiates me, and I'm happy to connect with you all. You can catch my show Launch with Charlene Walters, where I interview entrepreneurs on DBTV as well, and I look forward to getting to know you and interacting with you on those platforms.
Awesome. Thank you. Stay with me, Charlene. Hey, folks, it's the show. You know what I say to you every week. You're in control of three things: your attitude, your effort, and your resiliency. I know that life can be tough and it can be challenging. I get it, but you still can control your attitude. You can still control your effort. That's your excellence. And we all are going to get punched in the gut or in the mouth every now and then, but it's up to you to get back up again. I know you can get back up. Do it. That's your resiliency. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest. It's going to be another great book. It's going to be another great show. It has to be. As I say to you all over, you know what that is. And that is, you know what? You had lots of choices. You chose us. Thank you. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Wherever you may be listening to us as a podcast, give us a positive 5-star review. We really appreciate it. As I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everybody.
A new direction. Things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry.